Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. And Father, we thank you for being with us and giving us a blessed anointing here today, and anoint all of our understanding, eyes to see, ears to hear, and so on. And thank you, Father, for doing this. Amen. Okay. I'm going to talk on prophetic Christmas judgment, ? And it's a lot of revelations concerning Christmas time, this Christmas time, actually, I believe. Okay, the first one I'm going to talk about is Christmas 2025. Okay, and this is a revelation given to Allison Pound. 12:21-25. She says, it's worth noting that I received the following word just 14 days out from Christmas Day. He previously said that we are right in the season for some specific events that he has been warning about for some years now to come to pass. And I believe from other revelations that this is going to be boom, boom, boom. I mean, lots, one right behind another here. This is the time of sorrows, increasing magnitude and occurrence of earthquakes, of wars, deaths, mourning, floods, fires, hurricanes, tornadoes. As I was preparing to post this, the Lord said, read Psalm 68. All right, verse 1, let God arise, and let his enemies be scattered. Let them also that hate him flee before him. I believe that the Lord is saying through this revelation here that he's going to take out a lot of enemies. Not that he won't take some people home. He always does that sometimes when he's doing the other. So, but anyway, verse 2, as smoke is driven away, so drive them away. As wax melteth before the fire, so let the wicked perish at the presence of God. The psalm also says, let the righteous be glad. So we are to praise him because he is a good God and all of his judgments are righteous. The whole chapter can be read too below, and I will read that to you. And this is what the Lord said to me on December the 11th. That Christmas I told you about, where it would not be celebrated as in other years, this is the one. This year of 2025. Christmas will not be at all like other Christmases. All around the earth, every household will be affected by what I am doing in the earth. Remember that my judgments are now in the earth and are upon its people. I am dealing with believers, my people, those who claim to know me. I am about to test all believers in the hardest test that they have ever had to endure. Many will not make it. They will be taken away. And the next time they awaken, they will be standing in front of me, being asked to account for themselves. This is a very serious time. All of heaven has paused. They take this time very seriously. Most of those on earth are completely unaware of what goes on in heaven and what I am about to do on the earth. But this Christmas, they will be right in the midst of my judgments. You know of what I speak? He has warned of imminent earthquakes, volcanic eruptions, floods in various places, and wars. Many this year will have no home. Many homes or whole communities have already been destroyed by flooding. Lives have been lost. I speak of the fires also. Lives have been lost. And there will be more of both flood and fire. Psalm 68, 1 through 35. For the chief musician, a psalm of David, a song. Let God arise, let his enemies be scattered. Let them also that hate him flee before him. As smoke is driven away, so drive them away. As wax melteth before the fire, so let the wicked perish at the presence of God. I do believe that this means literally there is going to be a presence. But let the righteous be glad, let them exalt before God, yea, let them rejoice with gladness. Sing unto God, sing praises to his name, cast up a highway for him that rideth through the deserts. His name is Jehovah, and exalt ye before him, a father of the fatherless, and a judge of the widows, is God in his holy habitation. God setteth the solitary in families. He bringeth out the prisoners into prosperity, but the rebellious dwell in a parched land. O God, when thou wentest forth before thy people, when thou didst march through the wilderness, Selah, the earth trembled, the heavens also dropped rain at the presence of God. Yon Sinai trembled at the presence of God. Those earthquakes are coming. The God of Israel, thou, O God, didst send a plentiful rain. Thou didst confirm thine inheritance when it was weary. Thy congregation dwelt therein. Thou, O God, didst prepare of thy goodness for the poor. The Lord giveth the word. The women that publish the tidings are a great host. Kings of armies flee, they flee. And she that tarrieth at home divideth the spoil. When you lie among the sheepfolds, it is as the wings of a dove covered with silver, and her pinions with yellow gold. When the Almighty scattereth kings therein, it was as when it snoweth in Zalmon. A mountain of God is the mountain of Bashan. A high mountain is the mountain of Bashan. The bulls of Bashan, by the way, were prophesied to be against God's people and so on. And it is a mountain, a kingdom, basically, of wickedness that we're dealing with, both in the church and in the state. Why look you askance, you high mountains, at the mountain which God hath desired for his abode? Yea, the Lord will dwell in it forever. The chariots of God are 20,000, even thousands upon thousands. The Lord is among them, as in Sinai, in the sanctuary. Thou hast ascended on high, thou hast led away captives, thou hast received gifts among men, yea, among the rebellious also, that the Lord God might dwell with them. Blessed be the Lord, who daily beareth our burden, even the God who is our salvation, Selah. God is unto us a God of deliverances, and unto the Lord, the Jehovah the Lord, belongeth escape from death. But God will smite through the head of his enemies, the hairy scalp of such a one as goeth on still in his guiltiness. The Lord said, I will bring again from Bashan, I will bring them again from the depths of the sea. Thou mayest crush them, dipping thy foot in blood, that the tongue of thy dogs may have its portion from thine enemies. They have seen thy goings, O God, even the goings of my God, my King, into the sanctuary. The singers went before, the minstrels followed after, in the midst of the damsels playing with timbrels. Bless ye God in the congregations, even the Lord, ye that are of a fountain of Israel. There is little Benjamin, their ruler, the princes of Judah and their council, the princes of Zebulun, the princes of Naphtali. Thy God hath commanded thy strength. Strengthen, O God, that which thou hast wrought for us. Because of thy temple at Jerusalem, kings shall bring presents unto thee. Rebuke the wild beasts of the reeds, the multitude of the bulls, with the calves of the people, trampling underfoot the pieces of silver. He has scattered the peoples that delight in war. Princes shall come out of Egypt. Ethiopia shall haste to stretch out her hands unto God. Sing unto God, ye kingdoms of the earth. O sing praises unto the Lord. Selah. To him that rideth upon the heaven of heavens, which are of old. Lo, he uttereth his voice, a mighty voice. Ascribe ye strength unto God. His excellency is over Israel, and his strength is in the skies. O God, thou art terrible out of thy holy places. The God of Israel, he giveth strength and power unto his people. Blessed be God. And here's another one. A common denominator in these is Christmas time, right? Tragedy is coming. This is Glenda Lomax. A tragedy is coming that is so immense and so widespread in its effect that all the world will mourn with America. This tragedy will bring about a financial crisis like nothing before it, even in a time when they're releasing a lot of money that they've taken up from the deep state and delivering it to the people. He's saying this. So, the shock will cause all to take an inventory of their lives. Many lost will run to me then, to know more of me. And you must be ready for this time. You must be ready to answer their inquiries about me. You must be walking in my ways to model me before them. I will begin soon to call more of my aging saints home to me. I do not desire that they see this tragedy. These are the ones who have served me long and well, and their rewards are great in heaven. The scope of this tragedy will be shocking. Many souls will be lost in what is going to happen. And this is my last judgment call to the world to turn away from their sins, to turn to me, to give me their hearts. At the same time, many who know me shall turn away, blaming me for this tragedy and laying down their faith. Satan will enter their hearts then, and their end shall be far worse than their beginning. Hold tight to your faith, my precious children. Do not let the enemy have your souls. Remain steadfast, for I have not forsaken you, and the end of all things is near. Note, I had been praying for days about why I keep feeling there will be no Christmas celebrations this year when I got this word. And it seems that she had some reluctance, you know, not about giving the word, but she just wanted to know why she kept feeling this way. However, many prophetic utterances don't come to pass the year they are spoken, because she did say this year. And they come to pass later, and the reason for that is people need to be able to hear the warning. If it happens at the after you give it, nobody hears the warning. And so this is what commonly happens, commonly. And it happens later so that many can take warning. And many are just hearing this warning now when others are getting the same warning. Joseph taught that when a revelation is doubled, it will come to pass. Back to the revelation here. I know it would take something huge to stop Christmas in America. Suddenly I heard rumbling, and what came to my mind was an earthquake. I cannot say it is one, because he did not say that. I don't believe it is one. I believe it's many earthquakes, several very large ones going across this country. I cannot say for sure that this earthquake will happen before Christmas. I don't think it will happen before Christmas either, because the Lord did not say so. It could happen at Christmas. Who knows? I think it could be. I was concerned about the term judgment call, as it generally means a summary judgment based on known facts. But then I realized call could mean a calling, the lost to himself. Actually, he is the calling, by the way, in the Bible, when you look it up, it is only given to the saved, because the calling is an invitation to partake of all of the benefits of the kingdom. Okay, you look it up, you'll find out I'm telling the truth. Hebrews 10, 23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And 2 Peter 2, 20 and 21. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein, which is the case for many, and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. Yes, and 2 Thessalonians 2 and 2 through 3 says, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. As you know, Judas, as the son of perdition, was hidden among the disciples. They didn't know who it was when the falling away happened. Okay, that's when he was revealed. And it was the same for us with this faction movement. Judas was discovered. He was acting like everything was fine and good, but not living the life, really. So we have certainly seen this sign. Matthew 28, 19 through 20 says, Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. So what we see in these revelations that we're going to share is the faction in church and state are trying to take down the righteous. But God is directing their wrath to take them down instead. Just as Pharaoh at the Red Sea, he had a plan, but God had another plan, right? Or Sennacherib at Jerusalem, he had a plan, but God had the opposite plan. Or the three armies against Jehoshaphat at Jerusalem. Same thing. The glory of the Lord is going to be seen by the whole world at our Red Sea. The fear and respect of the Lord will be on many from among the nations. A common timing theme in these dreams is Christmas time. All right. Which symbolizes the time of the man-child's birth. That's a symbol. The day cannot be ruled out either. Individuals in these dreams represent corporate bodies of people around the world. Okay, we call this one coming attack and man-child provision. God is making a provision for the terrible things that are coming. Okay, this is given to Eve Brast on 11:27-18. And she said, I had a dream where I was in my paternal grandparents' house in Highland Park in Dallas, Texas. I was in the living room and decided to go down to the basement. In real life, there was no basement. Going down to the basement to check on my three sons. As I went down the basement stairs, I saw my husband moving large containers of some sort of outside the house, in through the house, through the left brick wall of the basement, as if the wall was an illusion of some kind. Well, the breaching of a wall on the left symbolizes breaking with our sanctification or separation from the world. That's what a wall represents, okay? And the fact that it is an illusion, it was an illusion for the person who was trying to move things through the wall, right? And bring things from out of the holy place into the holy place. My sons were all younger in the dream. Noah was 9, Elijah was 6, and Josiah was 4. I called out to my husband over the commotion and asked if I could spend some time with the boys. He never stopped what he was so busily doing, only replied, "They are busy helping me. We don't have time for that." Well, the left has always, as it was mentioned, the left has always hindered the fellowship of the bride with the children, and this actually came to pass. Then I heard and felt a shaking sound. I wrote this interpretation in 2018, before the recent revelations. This could represent the shaking coming at Christmas time. I wrote that there then. Or the time of the man-child body's birth, or both. Even though the timing of Christmas and its traditions are false, it can represent the time of the man-child's birth, because people respect the time. He uses something that's, he's weak to the weak in doing this, you know. Whenever that comes, right, no matter when it really comes. Why Christmas? We will see. So I felt a shaking sound coming from behind me, and I could see a large red CGI dragon in the spirit coming for me. A realistic 3D animated dragon. The dragon in Revelation 12 is the beast of the first 3.5 years of the tribulation, who fails to devour the man-child and then seeks to devour the woman church. And from other dreams, we know that we are now in the time of the immature dragon. In other words, it hasn't come to full fruition yet. Hence, a cartoon dragon. I had a dream where this exact dragon was sneaking in a back window of our assembly to devour us, and it It came and it failed. Okay. I then hurried down the stairs and went around the stack of containers that he had brought into the basement and turned around to see the dragon coming down the stairs. It had yellow eyes. It looked just like the dragon Smaug from the Lord of the Rings movies. It said, "I'm coming for you." I hid behind containers as it stomped past. Once it was past where I was, I noticed a Christmas tree over to the side of the basement. Okay, there's another Christmas time man-child birth revelation. So I hurried over and knelt down behind the tree and was praying and telling myself, if I'm very still, he won't be able to see me. Noah came over and began to ask me, "What are you doing, Mom?" I told him, "If I'm very still, he won't see me." Noah laughed and said, "You mean him?" Pointing to the dragon. I said, "Yes." He then started pushing on me and making me move. The dragon saw me and narrowed his eyes and said, "I see you." And he began to lumber over towards me as I woke up. Well, children who are temporarily in the camp of the left sometimes do not understand the true nature of the dragon. The woman escaped the dragon in the dream here by waking up. And I got to say, the things that are coming are going to wake some people up. And they're going to understand who the dragon is and who the dragon is after. I asked Father for a couple of words by faith at random concerning this dream, and my finger was on, "I have broken Moab," in Jeremiah 48:38. Moab was the children of Lot, who factioned away as leftists from their brethren of Israel as a type of the church. So they're talking about the faction today, right? Jeremiah in the church and in the government, right? Jeremiah 48:35-46. "Moreover, I will cause to cease in Moab, says the Lord, him that offereth in the high place, and him that burneth incense to his gods. Therefore, my heart soundeth for Moab like pipes, and my heart soundeth like pipes for the men of Kir-Hares. Therefore, the abundance that he hath gotten is perished. For every head is bald, and every beard clipped. Upon all the hands are cuttings, and upon the loins sackcloth. On all the housetops of Moab, and in the streets thereof, there is lamentation everywhere. For I have broken Moab like a vessel wherein none delighteth, saith the Lord." How is it broken down? How do they wail? How hath Moab turned the back with shame? So shall Moab become a derision and a terror to all that are round about him. Again, speaking of the factions in the government and in the church. "For thus saith the Lord, behold, he shall fly as an eagle and shall spread out his wings against Moab." So the factions in church and state are going to be struck by the Lord. "Kerioth is taken, and the strongholds are seized, and the heart of the mighty men of Moab at that day shall be as the heart of a woman in her pangs. And Moab shall be destroyed from being a people, because he hath magnified himself against the Lord." And he did that by magnifying himself against the true people of God, right? The chosen ones. Fear and the pit and the snare are upon thee, O inhabitant of Moab, saith the Lord. He that fleeth from the fear shall fall into the pit, and he that getteth up out of the pit shall be taken in the snare. For I will bring upon him, even upon Moab, the year of their visitation. And I believe that this is a literal visitation, because the Lord is coming in his man-child, as we have seen clearly from the scriptures. And this is a reformer group that will cover the earth. Okay, saith the Lord. They that fled stand without strength under the shadow of Heshbon, for a fire is gone forth out of Heshbon, and a flame from the midst of Sihon, and hath devoured the corner of Moab, and the crown of the head of the tumultuous ones. Yes, they are tumultuous. Woe unto thee, O Moab, the people of Chemosh is undone, for thy sons are taken away captive, and thy daughters into captivity. So both of these texts involve a visitation of the Lord to punish the wicked and reward the righteous. The Lord is coming, manifested in the man-child body ministry by word and by spirit in them. Jesus was the firstborn as a baby, and later was anointed to minister. These two stages happen to the man-child body of our day also. The second one I received by faith at random, my finger was on, he will carry them in his bosom. And that's in Isaiah 40:11. The right and righteous will escape. And we'll look at the context of Isaiah 40:1-11. Comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem. Jerusalem was called the bride by John, right? Mm-hmm. And cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, and that her iniquity is pardoned. And this is not for the whole church. This is for the bride, as we'll see. Some people think the whole church is the bride, and they haven't read the scriptures. That's all I can say. Read Song of Solomon, yeah. Read Esther, yeah. All the parables point to a different situation, and the New Testament does too. That she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. In other words, she's gone through her chastening, her wilderness, and she's coming out the other side, right? Not the church, the bride. The bride is doing this before the tribulation, and the church is going to do this in the tribulation. The voice of one that crieth, prepare ye in the wilderness. That's, by the way, described in Revelation 17, Revelation 12, as the tribulation. The way of the Lord, make level in the desert or wilderness a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low. Just think about the pressure that God is going to bring. The humble will be exalted, and the proud humbled. And the uneven shall be made level, and the rough places a plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. The ministry of Jesus is going to be in every one of those man-child ministers, those reformer ministers, to bring us back to the scriptures. The voice of one saying, cry. And one said, what shall I cry? All flesh is as grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth. There's lots of beautiful things out there that the world considers that. that are going to be quite different in the times to come. Because the breath of the Lord bloweth upon it, surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. O thou that tellest good tidings to Zion, which is the bride, again. Get thee up on a high mountain, O thou that tellest good tidings to Jerusalem, again the bride. Lift up thy voice with strength, lift it up, be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God, behold the Lord Jehovah will come as a mighty one, and his arm, Jesus, of course, is the arm of the Lord, right? Jesus in the man-child is the mighty one, okay? Will rule for him. This is going to be the new head of the church, just as Jesus was the man-child and he was the head of the church, okay, when he came. Now, the Pharisees disagreed, and they will this day too, and they will persecute, but they will fail. And his arm will rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his recompense before him. The reward is with him, and his recompense comes before him. Judgment on the factious Edomites just before he rewards the righteous. And this has been happening. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arm and carry them in his bosom, and he will gently lead those that have their young. Well, notice that the same words, his reward is with him, and his recompense before him. When God saved the bride from the factious Edomites, and here it is in Isaiah 62:11 through 63:3. Behold, the Lord hath proclaimed unto the end of the earth, say ye to the daughter of Zion, that is the younger Zion, right? In our day, there is a younger Zion. The church was grafted in, and the unbelievers in Israel were broken off. You read it in the scriptures. Don't argue with me. Read it in the scriptures, especially Romans chapter 9. Behold, thy salvation cometh. Behold, his reward is with him, and his recompense before him. So he's bringing a judgment. I've been watching the judgment of the factions fall. Many of them die. All of them become reprobated. It's amazing. His recompense is before him. And they shall call them the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord. And thou shalt be called sought out, a city not forsaken. 63:1. Who is this that cometh from Edom with dyed garments from Bozrah? That's the sheepfold of Edom, by the way. In case you don't know, there are Edomites mixed in with the church, just as Jesus said. And Judas was one of them. So this is glorious in his apparel, marching in the greatness of his strength. I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save. Wherefore art thou red in thine apparel, and thy garments like him that treadeth in the wine vat? I have trodden the winepress alone, and of the peoples there was no man with me. Yea, I trod them in mine anger, and trampled them in my wrath, and their life blood is sprinkled upon my garments, and I have stained all my raiment. He's going to judge those who have been critical and persecuted the bride. And when the Lord separates the factious spirits from some of the factious people, some will return to righteousness, although they will have missed the bride. This is what the Lord has told me, and we've received in Revelations 2. Others will die in their sins. And here's a revelation. We called it a remnant of the faction begins to return around the birth of the Solomon man-child body. Eve Brast, 8:18. I dreamed this morning that our local UBM assembly was meeting on an upper floor of an apartment building. Well, an apartment represents a body of houses built together into a holy temple in the Lord, as Ephesians says, if you're talking about a church people, right? The living room was smaller than the Shaws, people we know, and there was a small room to the right of the long entryway that was a kitchenette, where the spiritual food is prepared, because, of course, those that teach prepare a spiritual food to feed the children. We were all sitting in a large circle, singing a cappella, praising the Lord. David was sitting along the wall where the entryway led into the living room, and Michael was on his left, and I was on his right. I believe this is as a type of the last Adam's bride, right? You know, the first Adam's bride name was Eve, and now God's used Eve a lot to represent the bride, but she is the bride of the last Adam, Jesus Christ, right? So I was wearing a beautiful dress with a floral pattern on it, a symbol, I believe, of fruit and beauty being born as in springtime by the corporate bride body. We had several revelations of springtime in the fall or in the winter. Springtime. Springtime here obviously has to be spiritual, or it couldn't be in the fall and winter. But springtime is new life. Winter is death. Springtime is new life. So God's going to bring that new life in the midst of this great troubles that are coming. But I was very weak and thin from fighting a long illness. In other words, this is the bride speaking again, representing the corporate bride fighting off the faction infection. Well, of course, we had that. It was good for us. It separated from us the tares and the Judases, so to speak. Faction is its division, and it's usually through unforgiveness, criticism, slander, etc. So we fought it off in the church, and we saw the same spirits in the government. We were kind of surprised, but we recognized the spirits. We knew how to deal with them. We were taught that in the church. So at this time, Eve actually was fighting off this infirmity, which the medical journal says comes from an abusive relationship that she has been through, okay, representing the bride being an abusive relationship. Yes, the bride had gone through that all through scriptures. So when she had this dream, she wasn't suffering from this, and we wondered what this dream spoke of, and this shows us that the timing is near for these things. I believe I represent a corporate body that is sick of faction. But once the factious leader, which we'll speak of below, was born again, and he and others came back into an inferior fold. I want to say that we've had many revelations about this. Those that go into faction don't come back into the bride. They go into a more, and the Shepherd of Hermas taught this too, a glorious building being built was the bride. And then some that were cracked and had different deformities of the blocks were put in a lesser building. They came back into an inferior fold, and I was recovering as a body of people. She represented a body of people that had fought off this evil. Jesus' body of the 12 disciples and himself had one of those among them. His name was Judas. And they fought this off. So part of the text was good concerning those Father knows and will bring them back to him. And the other part is concerning those in the dream who were too fearful to enter the door again. They were too fearful. They couldn't enter in. I couldn't stand or move around for long before I had to sit down and rest. David and Michael had to help me by each holding my arms for support when I needed to stand or walk. So the bride was weak because being attacked by these factious spirits. But this was good training. We all realized it. And it made us be very careful about our relationships one with another, because the people who gave up that relationship one with another through unforgiveness and criticism and unbelief, they were turned over to it by the Lord. You couldn't get it out of them, and so on. But I was slowly regaining my strength day by day. At that time, there were factious people returning. Suddenly, the factious leader came through the front door and was encouraging others who had factioned away to enter also. Now this is going to be in the tribulation here, this part. We know this for a fact. We've received this. Some of them are going to see where they are and what's going to happen, and some of them are going to repent. Not all. We think it's a possibility that a third of them will repent, and that's because of Moab itself. David put three rows of the Moabite people after he conquered them on the ground. Two they slaughtered, and one served David. There you go. The others had followed him to the door, but wouldn't enter. This represents the outer court of God's house. A couple of men came right inside the door, but were fearful to come any further. The content to be in the holy place, they were content to be in the holy place, but not the holy of holies. So that's the second stage, okay? The factious leader himself came all the way up to the threshold of the entryway, where the living room began, but wasn't interested in joining our praise and worship. It didn't go into the holy place, right? He didn't go in. And he represents a body of leaders that, you know, raised themselves up to do what they wanted to do. But they failed, all of them. Not going to return to the bride in the holy of holies, but to a lesser degree, the holy place. Okay. He was concerned more about undoing some of the damage he'd caused by factioning some away. Now, we haven't seen this yet, but it's coming. Factioned away from the truth. He did do this, and they did do this because he represents a body of people. He was trying to get them to come through the door. The door being Jesus, of course. He kept gesturing to the two men with an inviting motion to come into the entryway further, but they only stood right inside the door. The factious leader was wearing a white polo shirt and tan shorts. He had an old baby blanket. I would say this represents being infected by memories from childhood. The size of a large shawl draped around his shoulders, and it had a silk edge sewn all the way around it, and pink and baby blue stripes. Since it was from the 1970s, it was not as white as it used to be, and it was faded because of many washings. He had fallen away from his new birth many times and had many washings, so it was faded. His right hand clutched it at his neck like he didn't want it to fall off of him. In other words, I believe he didn't want to forget and lose his salvation again. I was shocked to see him with that blanket around his shoulders. I said, "Hey, everyone, the factious leader is here." And I wanted to go over and give him a hug, encourage him to continue to go towards God, right? So David and Michael helped me over to him. But Brandy was angry and alarmed and said, "He's not for real. He's just here to spy on us all and to cause us more damage. Don't touch him." Well, let me say there's some truth to that, because we have had dreams and attempts of faction acting as though they are cured in order to sneak back into the body and their demons do some more damage. So suspicion here is natural. Yes. And David and Michael said, "We asked the Lord if it was okay for him to come and go two heads for yes." But Brandy, in other words, had cast a lot, and this is what we came into agreement with. But Brandy became incredulous and offended about it. I didn't know what to believe, so I didn't hug him. That is the factious leader. And I decided to go to the kitchenette and wash the dishes, which is what everyone eats from. When you have faction people among you, you're partaking of them. That's why you have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. You are partaking of them. Okay. So David and Michael helped me to counter, and I was able to lean against it for support so I could wash them. Well, after our plates were clean, I would say symbolizing the end of the faction, right? I came back out and sat down. R.S. was sitting at the 12 o'clock position and was directing the a cappella singing and said, "Let's all sing, get it, Silver Bells. We'll sing it six times. Silver Bells." David was at the 6 o'clock position, so David and Michael helped me back up, and we all held hands and walked in a circular clockwise direction. In other words, time going forward. In other words, this was something that was going to happen in the future. We sang, "Silver Bells, Silver Bells, it's Christmas time in the city," symbolizing the time of the man-child's birth. Christmas, of course, was the man-child Jesus' birth, and the things that have been are the things that shall be. When Jesus comes into the New Testament, he becomes a corporate body. Have you noticed? Yes. So symbolizing the time of the man-child's birth, that's what this is. I became tired and had to go sit down, and I thought, Christmas time? ? Because none of us really believed in Christmas. And then there was a couch behind the kitchenette in a little room, and David was sitting wearing a blue shirt representing heavenly, and blue socks, heavenly walk, and he had a baby diaper on. This represents the birthing of the David man child. The anointing could come shortly after, since the man child grows up very quickly. And then I woke up. I asked for a general text that covers this dream, and my finger was on Psalm 50:11. "I know all the birds of the mountains," quote unquote. So we'll read 1 through 23. A psalm of Asaph, the mighty one, God, Jehovah, has spoken, and called the earth from the rising of the sun unto the going down thereof. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, again, this is the bride, God has shined forth. Our God cometh and doth not keep silence. The visitation of the Lord in the man-child, this is how he's coming. He's going to come as the latter rain. That's what he said. Not in the sky at the beginning of the tribulation, as the latter rain. A fire devoureth before him, and it is very tempestuous round about him. He calleth to the heavens above and to the earth, that he may judge his people. Gather my saints together unto me, those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. Sacrificing what? Their flesh on the altar of the fiery trials. Right? And the heavens shall declare his righteousness, for God is judge himself. Selah. Hear, O my people, and I will speak, O Israel, and I will testify unto thee, I am God, even thy God, and I will not reprove thee for thy sacrifices, and thy burnt offerings are continually before me. He's talking about offering up your flesh on the altar of the fiery trials you go through. When you deny doing what you want to do in the fiery trial, and instead you stick with the word, that's when your flesh burns up. I will take no bullock out of thy house, nor he goats out of thy folds. For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon a thousand hills. I know all the birds of the mountains, and the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell thee, for the world is mine, and the fullness thereof. Will I eat of the flesh of bulls, or drink the blood of goats? Well, no. There's a question mark there. Offer unto God the sacrifice of thanksgiving. In other words, we are to offer that sacrifice, right? And pay thy vows unto the Most High, and call upon me in the day of trouble. We just discovered that this coming thing is a day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. But unto the wicked God saith, what hast thou to do to declare my statutes? And that thou hast taken my covenant in thy mouth? Well, we have received this text for the faction before, several times. Seeing thou hatest instruction, they do, and castest my words behind thee, they do. When thou sawest a thief, they did. Thou consentest with him, they did. And hast been partaker with adulteries, they did. And thou givest thy mouth to evil, they did. And thy tongue frameth deceit, they did. And thou sittest and speakest against thy brother, they did. And thou slanderest thine own mother's son, they did. These things hast thou done, and I kept silence. Thou thoughtest that I was altogether such a one as thyself. But I will reprove thee and set them in order before thine eyes. And now consider this, ye that forget God, lest I tear you in pieces, and there be none to deliver. Whoso offereth the sacrifice of thanksgiving glorifieth me. And to him that ordereth his way aright will I show the salvation of God. And this one we called a remnant of faction returns. And it is a remnant. It is a small remnant. Anna Stewart got this. 12/7/2018. I dreamed we arrived at the Shaws for a Wednesday Bible study, and a factious leader had returned and was sitting in his old place against the front wall. Brandy was sitting next to him because Michael had left Brandy to share in the Bible study because neither he nor David could make it yet. I believe I know what happens here, why they're not there. I had the sense that David knew the factious leader had returned, but I felt very uncomfortable that David and Michael were not there. He was thinner in the dream, which is a positive thing. It means less flesh, right? And wearing dark blue, which is heavenly, yet still in darkness, right? And at one point showed his new guitar to someone. More and more people from our local body kept coming in, except those who normally cannot be there until every person was there. There are people normally can't be there because the only way we meet with them is over the internet, right? The house changed at some point with two very large rooms to the back added on. So I believe this is talking about incoming brethren joining us from other places, which will happen in a large way, very large way. And the main room where we were become as upper story. I believe this is symbolizing the people from the upper room receiving the outpouring. Original foundation of people on higher level of leadership. So, with a sliding glass door opening onto a deck on each side of the house. David and Michael finally showed up, and David had told the factious leader he couldn't be in there with us, and because he's not a part of the bride. In Eve's dream, he also did not come into the assembly, but was in an outer room. We believe this was a sign that he would come back, but not be in the bride or be trusted yet because of falling away into faction. The factious leader was outside, and he just represents a group of factious leaders, right? Outside on the deck, sometimes on his knees and forearms, sometimes sitting cross-legged. There's no doubt that they will soon discover through the confirmation of the Lord that they made a huge mistake. Everyone inside ignored his presence. Every once in a while, he would tap on the glass as if asking for some compassion from someone to let him in. But nope, we couldn't do that. Several times, I saw him sitting out there with a pile of quarters on his knee. And each time they were either all heads or all tails. And I was wondering if he was asking the Lord questions. Could be, as asking for confirmations, right? Things inside went on as normal. Some people had brought food. Others were eating a little bit and fellowshipping. And David was in the back room working hard, and I knew he was very busy and tired. At some point, I felt led to look up my niece's name, Natasha, who has come to live here, and found in this dream that it meant something along the line of to take authority and cast out spirits. Now, that was the revelation in the dream. This may be a sign of timing to begin to cast out the factious demons, which I believe in the tribulation, the beginning of the tribulation, there will be some of them cast out. Many are reprobate. They'll never come back. So in real life, Natasha means, get this, born on Christmas Day. Resurrection, right? In Eve's dream, this man came back with others when we were singing Silver Bells. It's Christmas time in the city. The man-child is coming to the bride, Jerusalem. I felt, remember, Jesus was the one who sowed the seed in the first fruits disciples, who John the Baptist called the bride. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom. That's what he said. So it's the same today. I felt it was from the Lord concerning this man and likely a body of people he represents. And of course, they had one of those in the body, the first body that the Lord raised up, those 12 disciples, and that was Judas. And that I needed to tell David, but I was afraid of getting out of place and doing something I shouldn't. I decided to find David and ask if he had a minute, and he looked tired and said, not really, I have about 2 seconds. As quickly as I could, I told him what I felt the Lord told me, to take authority and cast out spirits. So this is a timing, of course, because we have tried to cast them out when they were in our midst, and it never happened, never happened, because God was reprobating them and separating them from the body because of their failures and because of their lack of humility. The scene changed, and it was getting late, and people began leaving for home until there was just a few of us left. Mostly the morning prayer meeting people remained. Eve, Matthew, and me, and a few others, everyone was sitting down, and things were pretty quiet. I realized that I wasn't doing what I should have been doing all along, and got down on my knees and began to intercede for the factious leader who was still outside and who was not permitted in by the Lord. Amen. It is a good time to pray restoration to a remnant of the faction. And this will come, I believe, in the beginning of the tribulation period. That time will come. And then the dream ended. And we call this one the last holiday. Christmas, Sandy Shaw, 12/3/18. In this dream was like a scene from the movie The Last Holiday. A man was sitting on the very edge of a building's top with a bottle of alcohol, contemplating whether he should jump. The building was old and tall, and like the architecture of the Swiss Alps, it was a castle-like. Queen Latifah walks out and says, "What are you doing here?" And he says, "I think I'm going to jump." And she says, "It ain't worth it." Then she sits down next to him. The last holiday is Christmas, symbolizing the time of the man-child's birth. The queen here represents the bride and has a false sense of death on her, which she later finds out is false. The drunk man committing suicide represents the left-wing, delusional, factious people who are committing spiritual suicide through spiritual drunkenness. In other words, being out of touch with reality is what you would call it, because we all recognize that. Okay, now LL Cool J, we interpreted to be Jesus, says, "What are you doing?" She, that is the bride, says, "I'm trying to get this guy back into the hotel." Remember what we said a hotel was, right? It's a bunch of houses together to make a holy temple in the Lord. The guy on the ledge says, "I'm not going." So that's their decision to make, I have to tell you. He factioned away from the body of Christ, built together into a holy temple of, as Ephesians says. LL Cool J says, "Well, you let that fool fall then, and you get back in there." In other words, there are people who are not elect, and they will just drain you dry. And the Lord says, go on to the next one, right? You can pray, but you many times have to go on to the next one. And then he said, and you get back in there. In other words, get back in the temple, right? In other words, separate yourself from them until they repent. Titus 3:10, it says, a factious man after a first and second admonition refuse, knowing that such a one is perverted and sinneth, being self-condemned. And that's the way it always was. We never condemned them. They always condemned themselves by their actions. LL is reaching for Queen Latifah. That's the Lord, probably the Lord in the man-child, reaching for the bride. But she is a few inches short, and he can't reach her. And I'm standing behind him, and I say, just grab her. In other words, man-child rescues the bride from the spiritually drunken faction, right? That's the sickness that was on Eve as she represented the bride. Until this was put out, a little leaven leavens the whole lump, until this was put out, which it was put out because they were all offended. We never ran anybody off. They were all offended at something for nothing, always nothing. They were offended always for nothing. It was crazy. It's like the Democrats. And then when I saw that he grabbed her, I got his legs and we fell through the window into the building. So the bride is rescued from the suicidal faction by Jesus in the man-child. That's what's coming. And as I'm trying to get up, I'm no longer there. I'm in a car in the back seat. The doors are locked. I can't get out, and I'm in a seat belt that won't unsnap. A big spider was coming towards me and was going to bite me on the leg. Let me say that she lost a leg, basically because her husband kept pushing her towards pharmakia, and she lost that leg. That's what they put her into, and they did it to her. Because the healing of God, of course, is for the church through faith. But back in reality, I got shook up because I'm on dialysis. And that was another thing that was destroying her, because there is only one end of dialysis. It's the only method they can use. Her husband was a nurse. And he insisted on going this way, and she was submitting, but it cost her life. That's not bad. Heaven ain't bad, right? But she obeyed, okay? And the nurses are shaking me. One was shaking my leg in the area where the spider was going to bite me. Well, it did bite her, you know? And this is a warning. The pharmakia is poison. It's called witchcraft, translated as witchcraft in the Bible. It's poison. All of it's deadly to most parts of your body, but they get a result in one area, so they think they're doing something. So many now know this. They have taken the vax, and they know this. They trusted. Cursed is the man that trusts in man, the Bible says. The spider was the size of a golf ball, though oblong, the size of one I saw in our garage. The bride is rescued in parallel to the first scene here. Okay, I received by faith at random about the factious in church and government. Ezekiel 11:7. We're going to go 7 through 12. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, your slain whom you have laid in the midst of it, they are the flesh, and this city is the cauldron. But you shall be brought forth out of the midst of it. You have feared the sword, and I will bring the sword upon you. Again, he's talking about the faction, those that were polluting the body. Right? Saith the Lord, and I will bring you forth out of the midst thereof and deliver you into the hands of strangers and will execute judgments upon you, and you shall fall by the sword. I will judge you in the border of Israel, and you shall know that I am the Lord. In other words, not inside Israel, in the border. There's a lot of fence setters out there, lukewarmers, but as you know, they're ultimately spewed out of the body of Christ. So this city shall not be your cauldron, neither shall ye be in the flesh in the midst thereof. I will judge you in the border of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord, for you have not walked in my statutes, neither have ye executed mine ordinances, but have done after the ordinances of the nations that are round about you. So this is a judgment on the faction. And this one we called Christmas Eve. What is coming? Winnie Asageta, 6:8:22. I prayed and asked the Lord to show me what was coming, and when I fell asleep, he gave me the following dream. I dreamt that I was in a very nice suburban area, and it was the evening time of Christmas Eve. Okay, we're there. So, wow, Christmas again, right? Another confirmation that the baby boy, man-child, is coming. I could see all the houses decorated with colorful Christmas lights throughout this neighborhood on my left, underline left there. My mother's house was also located on the left side of this suburban neighborhood. Our mother is many times the apostate religion that we might have been raised up in or even went into when we first got saved or whatever, you know. They're leftists in the kingdom. So Winnie's mom is being used to represent the apostate church on the left. And remember, Jesus put the goats, the stubborn and self-willed, on the left, right? That all of God's elect are born out of. That's right. We all come out of Babylon to go to Zion. Many apostates are in idolatry with the world and its traditions of men, represented by the celebration of Christmas, which is a pagan holiday. If you just study into it, you'll find this is true. There is a connection between the modern-day Christmas tree and the ancient symbol of the fertility goddess. I should start to say godless. Yeah, that's right. Named Asherah. Jeremiah 10:1-5. Hear ye the word which the Lord speaketh unto you, O house of Israel, which is a type of the church. Thus saith the Lord, learn not the way of the nations, and be not dismayed at the sign of heaven. For the nations are dismayed at them. For the customs of the peoples are vanity. For one cutteth a tree out of the forest. In other words, learn not the way of the pagans, he said. Cutteth a tree out of the forest, the work of the hands of the workmen with the axe. They deck it with silver and with gold, like a Christmas tree, right? They fasten it with nails and with hammers, that it move not, like a Christmas tree. They are like a palm tree of turned work. That's what a Christmas, if you notice how nice and trim they are, and they all get pointed at the top, and you know. They are like a palm tree of turned work, and speak not. They must needs be born, you have to pack them, because they cannot go. How can you make that a god, right? Be not afraid of them, for they cannot do evil, neither is it in them to do good. Look, the idols out there that people call Jesus, that can't do anything, that's an idol. That's an idol. That's not the Jesus. If they have a form of godliness but deny the power thereof, from such turn away. There was a remake of an older movie being made, except it wasn't actually a movie. It was really happening. Ecclesiastes 1:9-10. This remake is something that's being repeated because this text says the thing The thing that hath been, it is that which hath, which shall be. And that which is done is that which shall be done. And there is no new thing under the sun. Is there anything whereof it may be said, see, this is new? It hath been already of old time, which was before us. So there was the Christmas tree. You just saw it, where it really actually came from. I recognized and remembered this old movie that they were remaking it and was starring Kiefer Sutherland, who is an actor who played a great villain in movies in the 80s and 90s. And he was a villain in the movie In This Dream as well. Well, the meaning of the name Kiefer is a German nickname for someone who was quarrelsome from an agent of Middle High German Kibben or Kiven to quarrel. That's what it means, to quarrel. All of the faction are quarrelsome, all of them. They don't start that way. They start real sugary with you, and then they try to drag you into evil. They bought in a new actor for the remake of this movie who looked just like a younger, rounder-faced version of Kiefer Sutherland. His haircut was like the one Kiefer had in the movie. And the movie was called, quote, The Lost Boys, unquote. A film in which he played a vampire. Well, what is it about a vampire in blood? The life of the flesh is in the blood, the Bible says. The spiritual vampires of the apostate churches who are lost children who bite and devour and suck the life out of people with their contentious and slanderous ways is what's being identified here. Because I had already seen and knew this movie very well, I knew that this Kiefer Sutherland look-alike had a plan to enter into each suburban home in this neighborhood and kill every family. Let me tell you, everyone we saw who got faction in them gave it to their families. They brought it home to their families, and they were just as crazy as they were. I could see him lurking in the shadows of his brick house, spying on the neighborhood through his window on the top floor. Well, their leaders, and probably much of them, are stalkers and peeping Toms. This is a fact. These families were not suspicious as he made himself appear to be trustworthy and friendly. Reminds you very much of Romans 16, 17, and 18. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them that are causing the divisions. Notice the word mark. And occasions of stumbling, contrary to the doctrine which you learned, and turn away from them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Christ, but their own belly, their flesh, in other words. And by their smooth and fair speech, they beguile the hearts of the innocent. Remember, they are actors. I was now inside my mother's home, and this new actor was there as well. He handed my mother a box of Marlboro Red cigarettes, and she accepted them. She actually smoked these in real life when I was much younger. She obviously got out of it, but he was trying to bring her back to where she was, right? And soon as this actor walked off, I said, "No, no. Why did you accept them? Now you're marked." There it is again, marked. And she said, "I like Marlboro Reds. So if he gives me Marlboro Reds, I'm going to take them." And well, the cigarettes represent receiving bad and false spirits. Breath and spirit are the same word in Scripture. And taking in smoke represents taking in an unclean spirit. It even looks that way when you breathe it out, right? In fact, demons have come out of people as smoke. We've seen it happen. If you receive slander from a factious person, you will receive their same spirits. She seemed to be very bothered by my objections to her receiving these cigarettes, but I knew how this movie was going to play out, so I was desperately trying to warn her to no avail. It's that way when they catch it. It's to no avail. Nothing you say, no scripture bothers them. It flies right over them. Many in apostasy aren't heeding our warnings currently, and they will have to experience judgment before they turn back to righteousness. And still, many won't repent of their wickedness, and they will be killed spiritually with an eternal death. At this point, I knew that this actor was going to come back and kill her because she was marked, and that I had to go. This represents the mark of the beast. The mark of the beast identifies a person as a member of the body of the beast, not a member of the body of Christ. I couldn't stay with her there, or I would be killed as well. As much as it pained me to know what was going to happen, I didn't understand why no one else could see what was happening here. Yes, if you're looking on from the outside and you have spiritual understanding, you see it immediately. They don't see it. Since this movie was a remake of an old film, it should have been obvious what was going on, but it wasn't to them. That's because it's all repeated, you see, and it's repeated here. The Lord says it's all going to be repeated. I know people who have seen this happen to others fall into the trap because of disobedience. They were disobeying or mishandling the brethren or whatever, you know. And if you mistreat the brethren, this stuff fell on them. Anybody that did that. John 12:37-40. But though he had done so many signs before them, yet they believed not on him, that the word of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report? And to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? For this cause they could not believe, for that Isaiah said again, he hath blinded their eyes, he hath hardened their heart, lest they should see with their eyes. He's talking about the people of God here. Okay? He reprobated them. And perceived with their heart, and should turn, and I should heal them. In other words, he blinded their eyes, and he hardened their heart, and they would not come back. God grants repentance when he will. I left this suburban area to find an escape, and I entered into the city. I stopped by a clothing store that I used to go to when I was younger. We should not shrink back, represented by visiting the younger clothing store. In other words, your clothing represents your works. If you go back to former works, you're not listening to the rebuke to the churches in Revelation. Hebrews 10:39, but we are not of them that shrink back unto perdition or destruction, but of them that have faith unto the saving of the soul. I recognized one of the women that worked there in the dream, but not in real life. She was an overweight black lady with a fake ponytail. Well, this represents people who are walking in darkness. Overweight means having too much flesh, and they feed the flesh too much instead of the spirit, right? She met me outside with a hug and said, "Merry Christmas." I said, "Merry Christmas as well. I don't personally celebrate Christmas," she said, "but I believe the Lord is just using this as a parable." Yes, it's true. A parable of judgment on the apostates at the time of the man-child's birth. I noticed that I had a large, overweight, gray, striped cat with me, and it walked into the store of the apostates there. The cat wanted to stay behind, and I agreed that it was best because I could not escape what was happening with this cat tagging along. In other words, you don't need the attributes of this cat. The fat cat represents an abundance of flesh, self-will, and rebellion, as cats usually are. Gray symbolizes lukewarm people. They're not white, and they're not black. And you know what happened to the lukewarm? Jesus spewed them out of his body. These type people will not escape the faction demons because they must be separated from the bride and ultimately the body itself. This is coming to the church. The bride has gone through this trial, and the church is going to come through it, and the bride who was sent forth to the church by Jesus, right, remember, are now accustomed to this and understand this and are ready with their warnings, because it's going to clean the church. It's going to take out apostates. It's going to take out sinners, okay? I thought about the verse Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Therefore, let us also, seeing we are compassed about by so great a cloud of witnesses, yeah, they're watching us, lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. You can't run this race with a lot of extra weight. Flesh, it's called. Sin, it's called, right? Looking unto Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So we must leave the weight of our rebellious sin nature behind, represented by the fat gray cat, if we want to escape the judgment of faction that is coming, that we've already talked about. The lady in the store agreed that the cat could remain there because, you know, birds of a feather flock together, right? In the store. But again, I was sad because I knew what was coming and that they would not be safe if they did not escape. They'll lose their life, won't they? The mark of the beast. They'll justify it. Some churches who are fleshly churches justify it now. They say the mark of Christ is stronger than the mark of the beast. Nope, not when you take the mark and the Bible tells you that you're going to be reprobated, thrown out of the kingdom, and walk in darkness. They would not, in Revelation, not be safe if they did not escape. This actor would come and kill them too, including the cat. Yeah. So let me say Psalm 37 and 38. As for transgressors, or the rebellious, they shall be destroyed together. The end of the wicked shall be cut off. Cut off is the term used of cut off from the kingdom. Dead, dying. Okay, 2 Peter 2 and 12, but these as creatures without reason, born mere animals, beasts, right? They're members of the body of the beast, to be taken and destroyed, railing in matters whereof they are ignorant. They are railers. They speak against the brethren, right? Shall in their destroying surely be destroyed. I left the store and continued up a flight of stairs to leave this area as well, and then I woke up. The dream felt so real that when I woke up, I felt like this was still happening, and I was trying to figure out what movie this was that they were trying to remake. The people who don't learn from history are doomed to repeat it, as you see in the scriptures. I asked the Lord for a verse by faith at random and received Joel 2 and 19. We're going to read a context 15 through 20. Blow the trumpet in Zion, the bride. Sanctify a fast. Call a solemn assembly. Gather the people. A solemn assembly. Gather the people. Sanctify the assembly. You know these people do that? The Lord uses them to sanctify the assembly, because our assembly was very careful for their relationship with one another, that it was continuing to be love. We knew this was a defense against this. Sanctify the assembly, assemble the old men, gather the children and those that suck the breasts. Let the bridegroom go forth from his chamber. In other words, he's hidden, but going to be seen. And the bride out of her closet. She's hidden too, but she's going to be seen. These are going to be manifested. Well, notice at the time of the attempted attack on the bride, she and the man-child will be revealed and delivered. Let the priests, the ministers of the Lord, weep between the porch and the altar, and let them say, spare thy people, O Lord, and give not thy heritage to reproach, that the nations should rule over them. Wherefore, in other words, the beast, the mark of the beast, the members of the body of the beast, seven heads and ten horns, which are basically all nations. He's the deceiver of the whole world, we're told, should rule over them. Wherefore should they say among the peoples, where is their God? Then was the Lord jealous for his land and had pity on his people. And the Lord answered and said unto his people, behold, I will send you grain and new wine and oil, and you shall be satisfied therewith. And I will no more make you a reproach among the nations. By the way, he goes on down to talk about sending forth his spirit in a great revival. But I will remove far off from you the northern army, and will drive it into a land barren and desolate, its forepart into the eastern sea, its hinder part into the western sea. And its stench shall come up, and its ill savor shall come up, because it hath done great things. Well, the northern army is like Pharaoh's army at the Red Sea. They came to kill, and they lost their lives. It's the end of the persecutions and the beginning of the wilderness tribulation, because as you know, they had crossed the baptism of the Red Sea, Paul called it, and now they were entering the wilderness. Okay, so we've gone a little over, and I knew we would. I hope you stayed with me to the punchline here. Lord bless you, saints. Thank you so much, and I hope you take this in very well, and even listen to it again and read it again. That would be great. God bless you and keep you. Amen.